ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
We're still continuing in our series on spiritual growth. And tonight, as God will enable us, I want to talk about the believer's authority. The believer's authority. There is something that God has given every believer in Christ Jesus, and is his authority. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, that same spirit shall also quicken our mortal bodies. In other words, make alive. The spirit of God take residence in us. We are the temple of God. So we have access to his authority and power. And God expects you and I to exercise that authority and power to make known his glory in our world, and then to manifest this glory to other people. So tonight, as God will enable us, we will look at it. Open your Bibles, please. We will examine this topic. Open your Bible, please, with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I pick a verse of the scripture there, John 14. It's a very popular verse. Jesus talked about the fact here that our prayers can be answered. He says, most assuredly, verse 12, I say to you, he who believes in me. So, believing in Jesus. And then he said, the works that I do. So, we believe in his personality, his name. We believe in works that he has done. Acts 10:38 gives us an insight into that work. It says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power. That's not the end of the story. But he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So, we believe in him. We believe in the works that he does, or he's still doing in our days. And he said, when we believe in him, we believe in the works. He says, you and I who are believers in him, greater work than this we will do, because he has gone to his Father. And verse 13 now summarizes the greater word for us. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus here gave us what I can consider a blank check to seeing that God's kingdom and his will come to pass on the earth. And in those three verses that we just read, there is something I want you to please take note of. So we pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power that the Holy Ghost supplies. So the Holy Spirit lives in us, in the heart of the believer today. So we pray when we make a demand. We make a demand to the Father in the name of Jesus, because Jesus right here gave us the authority to use his name. So we've started with this series. I like to repeat those thoughts again. The fact that God's word to the believer today is unchangeable. It is ageless. It is consistent. We have the mysteries sang about Psalm 119, verse 105 to 9. Your word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. So God's word is unchangeable. It has nothing to do with the ages that has come to pass alone. God is still doing awesome things. His promises, which are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus, is still very valid today. Even Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus is the same yesterday. Jesus, the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So God's word is unchangeable. Second thought, God's word is irrefutable, is unquestionable, is undeniable. When we apply the word of God to any situation of life, it breaks through such situations. It breaks down the barrier. It breaks down barrier in the area of our health, for example. It breaks down the barrier in the area of this life's disappointment. In the area of this life's confusion, chaos, the word of God breaks through, shines his light, is light true. Because God's word, wherever it is sent, wherever it is applied, is unquestionable and undeniable. And then thirdly, God's word is powerful. It's potent. It has authority. So the frame of reference for the believer in Christ will always be the word of God. That's our constitution. That's our guide and manual for living. That's the pilot that leads us to our destination, not only in this life, but in the one that is to come. So everything the believer needs is wrapped up in the word of God. Everything. So the word of God carries what we call the believer's authority and power. The authority that we have using the name of Jesus, and then there is power that backs that authority for us. So for us, we must grow up. And that's the whole essence of this series. We must grow up so we can take advantage of everything that has been freely given to us in Christ Jesus. All things are ours in Christ. That is the legal status of every believer, because the Bible says all the promises of God, they are yes and amen. But we must translate it from being legal status to vital status. In other words, we live our lives in day-to-day reality. The word of God becoming the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. We must daily keep in step with the Spirit of God so that we can enjoy or take advantage of all that has been freely given to us. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, as a reminder again, it says, for a soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. So Jesus has given us what we can call privilege authority to use his name. The church today, I will say this under God, and I know that some of us already know it. The church of Jesus today has the access to the same authority and power that Jesus had when he was here on the earth. In Mark chapter 16, when he was leaving, look at what he gave us when he passed on this authority to her. Mark chapter 16, the same thing is repeated in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. The same thing is also repeated as an extension in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So we have the authority and power to become his witness here on the earth. And who is a witness? Someone who has a first-hand experience. Someone who is living in the reality of a testimony. That is a witness. So in Mark chapter 16, when Jesus was handing this over to us, look at what he says. From verse 16 to 20. Oh, verse 15. He said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the mandate
upon our life, the mandate upon that authority and power, we must go and preach the good news to every creature. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. He said, and these signs. So when we use the authority and power that we have been given, he said, these signs will follow us who believe. And he listed us those signs. He said, in my name, they will cast out demons. Not run away from demons. Not looking for how demons will be cast out of us. The believers in Christ has access to walk in the same authority and power that Jesus had while he was here on the earth. So, will we cast out demons? Will we speak with new tongues? Will we take up serpents? And if we drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt us. That's not the end. He said, we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And that was in the end. They exercised that authority. So verse 20 recorded what they did with that authority. He said, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So they took corresponding action to the authority and power that they had been given. So one of the greatest messages the believer in Christ need to hear in this hour is that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we possess the power to speak the unchangeable, irrefutable, powerful word of God with power and authority. And why did God make this so? For us to have power at our disposal to use for our own benefit? No. This power, authority and power, is given to us so that we can set the world on fire with the good news that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, to set men and women free from the power of the enemy. That's the essence of the authority and power. To bring men from darkness into light and to manifest the glory of God in the nations. Because when you and I were the believers in Christ, the Bible refers us to as the ambassadors of Christ. We are supposed to reconcile men back to God, to turn them from the power of Satan into the power of God, to open their eyes to see, to open their ears to hear by preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us this privilege. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul became a believer and he utilized his own authority and power, he was relating his testimony to the king in Acts 26. And that is what happened to us when we come into that realization that we have access to God's authority and power, Jesus' authority and power, and when we begin to walk in exercising, walking in the reality of it, look at the summary of what will happen. Paul was summarizing his own post-conversion life. In Acts chapter 26, from verse 15, all through to verse 18. Acts 26, verses 15 to 18. He says, so I said, who are you, Lord? He was talking about his conversion experience. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. That was when Paul was his Saul. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. And I believe that's the same word of encouragement to the church of the Lord Jesus today. We need to rise and stand on our feet. We need to exercise the authority and the power that we have. We need to exercise ourselves in that privileged authority. If God be God, let us serve Him. We need to walk because there is an assignment for us. Let's just continue. It says, whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand on your feet. Verse 16, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. What is that purpose? To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which I have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and as well as from the Gentile to whom I now send you. So there is an assignment. There is a purpose of God over our life. There is a mantle. There is a responsibility for the believer. The power is not for just for our own use to fulfill our own selfish ambition. The power is given so that we can walk in step with the Spirit of God and walk with Him to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. It says, what is the purpose of Paul or Saul? Back then, he said, verse 18, he said, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in the Lord Jesus. So, Jesus gave us this privilege, authority to use His name to set the world on fire with the good news that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And this authority and power is so tangible. And this message tonight is just to call us into that greater awareness. In Philippians chapter 2, in case you are doubting what you have, Paul later summarized it to the believers in Philippi, and which I believe is still relevant to us today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, all through to 11. It said, therefore, God also has highly exalted Him. You know, Jesus said, the work that if you believe in Me, the work I do, you will do. And then greater works. How did we come around that? He said, therefore, God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee, whether Satan, demons, opposition, every knee, thrones, kings, men who want to oppose the gospel, every knee should bow of those things in heaven, of those things under the earth, of those things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, the power that created heaven and earth, the same power. Because if you read this verse, you see that the Trinity is also still at work. The name of Jesus, God the Father, and then the Holy Spirit working through our lives. And so I say this with all sincerity again tonight, that you are not alone. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they need your cooperation to be able to enjoy the fullness of this authority and power. So this is the way it was. The word of God spoken through the lips of the believer today will set mighty motion or mighty wonders upon the heart for the benefits of mankind. It's not just for the believers. So when we pray, for example, we need to come into that awareness that when we open our mouths to pray, the word of God that we speak is not just for our own benefit, but is for the benefits of mankind. It says, so shall my word. So when we speak God's words on our lips is the same as God's word on His own lips. So when we speak the word of life, it carries the authority and power that is invested in those words. It says, so shall my word that has gone. So his word has gone. Jesus said to us in John 6:63, this word has the capacity to create life. And so believers in Christ today must grow up into this reality. Must grow up into this reality, the awareness of the authority and power that is invested in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. There is a song like that. There is no other name. There is no other name that has been given under heaven, for example, where men must be saved. So we pray that souls of men will be saved. We pray that God will use us by the preaching of the gospel to turn men from Satan to God, from darkness into light, then to cause the eyes of men to see and to realize that they have a purpose here man for them on this planet. So the word of God spoken through your lips, we create a motion for mighty works to be done on the earth. We are saved, and that's part of the growing up that we have to assume. We are saved to stand as saviors, as bridge of hope to the hopeless, as a believer who understands their priestly role. Not those who are still trying to believe for what is already theirs in Christ Jesus. We really need to take God at his word. Speak forth this word in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when we do, take everything the word is sent for to accomplish in our lives, and then take it further to set the captives free. Everyone who is not saved, they are enslaved to Satan in one way or the other. But we have been given a name. So when we speak in prayers, souls can get saved. When we speak in prayers, the sick can get healed. When we speak in the place of prayer, we can see change in our community. We can see change in our society. We can see change in our nation. We have a name that is above every other name. And at the mention of this name, every knee, situation, circumstances, sickness, death, they bow to the name of Jesus. In Obadiah, verse 21, was talking about this day and this age that we live. Obadiah, verse 21. Obadiah, by the way, is only one chapter. The last verse there talks about something. It says, saviors shall rise from Zion. Not just rising, but they will possess. They will possess the mountain of Esau. So, this is the time that your voice must be heard as a believer. This is the time that when you speak, things change because you have authority and power to do so. You may not have realized it, but I'm saying it through this message again tonight that we have been given. He said, I give unto you power. That's what he says in Luke. He said, I give unto you power. Not just power to be able to use an arrow. He said, but power to tread upon serpent, upon scorpion, and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing shall by enemies hurt us. So Jesus gave this authority and power to his body. The church, the ecclesia, the call out ones, the born again, the blood bought, blood washed. He gave us this authority. And that's why we can't afford to live in ignorance. He gave us this authority to declare his word with boldness. To declare his word with power, with authority that is invested. He also gave us his name. And that's why, you know, on a certain day, the disciples were going into the temple in Acts. And the Bible talks about a man whose situation is synonymous with asking for alms at the gates of the temple. And as his custom was, he was looking to the disciple just like every other person is going into the temple and they drop change or whatever for him. And so the Bible even couldn't even recollect, or rather recorded his name as it were. They said, a man who sat by the gate called Beautiful, but whose case wasn't beautiful. That's paraphrase. And so the Bible says, as the disciple came, it was the hour of prayer. And as they were walking into the temple, he said, they told him, he said, look upon us. And the man's expectation is to get another change, just to be able to sustain himself. But they said, no, there is something. Your situation will change today. He said, silver and gold, we are not going, it's not that they don't have, but we can't offer you today. But such as we have. And I believe that all of us, believers in Christ, we have that same responsibility today. There is something that we have more than silver and gold. We have access to the name of Jesus. We have authority and power. And we can declare his name. We can declare his authority and power over territories, over streets, over nations. And we can see his kingdom come to pass. It says silver and gold. He said, but such as we have, we give unto you. So the power is not for us, technically, as it were, but it's for us to be able to declare the name of Jesus, to be able to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and to be able to see his power go to work in the lives of people, in the life of society, in the life of the nation. So Jesus stepped into that scene because somebody dared to exercise their authority and power. And the Bible said that the story of that man changed because he did not only, got up from that position, he was leaping, he was dancing. His situation just literally changed. So the fact that, later on they were asking, what happened? Just like they asked when Jesus was around. There was a situation where he encountered, or someone encountered him one day. The Bible says that fellow was blind from birth. And then deaf and dumb. And then Jesus healed him. They said, the Pharisees, the religious people, they call him aside later on. They said, what happened to you? This man is a sinner. He said, well, I don't know the qualification you want to give this man. All that I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. And that should be the testimony of us. That should be the aspiration of every one of us who call ourselves believer in Christ today. We must grow into the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. We have been given his name. We have been given his word. We have authority backed it up. And we are expected to represent him to a dying and a lost world today. You have what it takes. You have the word of God. You have the name of Jesus. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have the word of God readily available to you. So go forth into that office. Go forth into that street. Go forth into that community. Go forth into that association. Shine your light. Let the whole world see. Shine your light. Bring people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Bring people from the power of Satan into the power of God. Many people are searching today. Many people are fearful. But we have something. Such as we have the name of Jesus, the word of God, the promises of God, which are yes and amen. We need to feed the hungry and the thirsty world with the gospel of Jesus. I read in closing John chapter 16. I will just read it, just for you to know that you have what it takes. You have the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You have the word of God, which is daily the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. John chapter 16. Just a flip further. I can read that again for you to know. Our text, John chapter 14 verse 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this, he will do. Because I go to my Father. Why are we not seeing the greater works of Jesus today? Because we have not utilized what we have. We don't believe in him enough. We don't believe the works that he do. So you have people say healing is a thing that has been done with since the day of the apostle. So people don't enjoy divine healing anymore. But he said greater works when we believe in him, we believe his word, greater work will we do. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13 said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he has come. He lives on the inside of the believer. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own or on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. That's one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. It gives us discernment. In 1 John chapter 2, so you have what it takes, brothers, sisters, as we close tonight. 1 John chapter 2, very popular scripture, but very instructive. It calls us into the awareness of the things. When the Bible says all things are ours in Christ Jesus, the word of God is true. All things are ours. All things. Not something. As a matter of fact, in one place he said he has given us, 2 Peter 1, all things that pertains to life. So, all things are ours. Ephesians 1, 3, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In 1 John 2, verse 20, he said, we have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. You have the anointing. When we talk about the anointing today, believers' mind generally goes to those who occupy the fivefold ministry and maybe the helps ministry. But every believer, you have it. The Holy One, verse 20. The Holy One lives on the inside of you, the greater one. And you know all things. So you and I are not supposed to be confused. Because if we are, there is no way we will give divine direction to people out there. And verse 7 of that same 1 John 2, it said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true, and it's not a lie, just as he has taught you, you will abide in him. The Holy Spirit is in us. So we must be sensitive to that. And lastly, tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You have something. You have the anointing. It is residual in you. It is residual in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ as anointed and has anointed us is God. So every believer is anointed to preach the gospel, to make known the mystery of the gospel, to turn people from the power of God, from the power of Satan into the power of God, to turn people from darkness into light, to give people a reason for living, to help people to walk into their God-ordained purposes. We need to grow. I need to grow. You need to grow. As we come into this greater awareness, and that's what Peter was encouraging the ecclesia, the church, in 2 Peter 3:18, said, but you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to walk in our God-given authority and power. We need to manifest Jesus to our broken and lost world. We need to be the mouthpiece of Jesus everywhere we are. We need to be his hand of love. We need to be his eyes of compassion. We need to be his prophetic mouth declaring over people, over situation, over circumstances. We need to be his prophetic mouth, declaring strength in the place of discouragement. Will you do it? The same question God asked Isaiah is still asking all of us today. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? It's the same question he asked Ezekiel. He said, I sought for a man. God is looking for that one person. And tonight, I want to please encourage you. Make up your mind to be that person who will stand for our King, who will stand as one of the saviors from Zion, who will be the bridge to the hopeless, who will be the eyes to the blind, the ears to the oppressed, the mouth of the oppressed, who will be the leg to the lame. God is counting on us who are the ecclesia, and we will not fail him in our own journey. Father, we say thank you tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives understanding to the simple. Thank you for your word tonight. And thank you because we believe in you. We believe in your word. We believe in the works that you have done in the time past. You are the healer. You are the restorer. You are the savior. You are the king. You are the Lord. And today, Lord, we exercise that authority and power. And we know that we are being ushered into the greater works of Jesus in our own generation. We give you praise. I speak strength to everyone who is weak. I speak healing to everyone who is sick. Everyone who is struggling with one habit or the other, those habits are broken. You are delivered from sinful habits to live victoriously in the reality of what Jesus has done in your life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and glory, for we have prayed with thanksgiving from our heart in Jesus' name. That's sick. Everyone who is sick listening or watching us tonight, you are made whole in the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you. Enjoy your evening.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,